The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to 94.5, The Answer's second annual Washington Night, featuring United States Senator Lindsey Graham and South Carolina Congressman Jeff Duncan. It is being sponsored tonight by Greg Ellie and the Prosperity Group, the upstate's premier retirement financial advisors. If you have questions, get them to us. We'll get the answers. Text them 877-235-9405. Now, live from the veranda at Global Trade Park, here's your host, Joey Hudson.
Good evening, as we are joined by our radio audience on 94.5 The Answer. Those of you at home know this is not a technical problem here. We'll get you back to Larry Elder at 8 o'clock here in just a few minutes. But we want to welcome you to the second annual Washington Night in partnership with the Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, Pickens, and Lawrence Counties Republican Party Organization. A special thank you to Nate Loyp, Cheryl Cutherell, Curtis Smith, Rick Tate, and Brenda Stewart, chairman of the of their respective county parties, for allowing us to be a part of Washington Night. Over the weekend, we witnessed just horrific evil. The communities of El Paso, Dayton, Ohio, they're hurting. Our nation in mourning with them for their loss. Let me encourage each of you over the next few days, weeks, months, to keep them in your prayers, because we've got to hold our brothers and sisters up in these communities. Let me encourage you to say a prayer tonight as we're thinking about the healing. Pray for their state and local leaders. Pray for our national leaders, that we will just always do the right thing, and God will lift all of us up. What a great evening we've had so far. Many of you got here early for the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the food. Glad to have you all here. A packed house. Some of you standing outside there. Hope everyone can hear. Give yourself a round of applause. And for our radio listeners at home, there will be no commercial breaks. So if you're waiting for your favorite MyPillow ad, I hate to disappoint you. Let me apologize now. You can visit MyPillow.com. And if you don't believe me...
You have changed my life. I travel probably 200-plus days a year. Pillows are important. Go to a hotel with a bad pillow. It's a miserable night. I'm beginning to take MyPillow with me.
If you don't trust me, you trust your senior senator here, Lindsey Graham. Use promo code Joey to always get your discount. Senator, once you're on record, it's forever. You always... Also, for those of you who are at home, you can watch our streaming. We are streaming this. Just go to 94.5 The Answer, our Facebook page. Look for us there. Love to have it's you participate all. There. Of course, with us tonight, Senator Lindsey Graham, Congressman Jeff Duncan. We have a lot to cover, so let's just get started. If you are here in the veranda tonight and you have a question, my friend Deb Sofield here. Everybody knows Deb. Deb has a microphone and will be moving throughout the room tonight. If you have a question, get Deb's attention, and she'll come over to you. We'll take as many of your questions as possible. For those of you in the radio audience tonight, your questions are important as well. You can text those via our Big Rock text line. That's 877-235-9405. Just text your question, and we'll get as many of those in as we possibly can. Gentlemen, let's get started. The two of you, I want to give you a couple of minutes to just talk about what's important to you, and then we'll jump into the questions. Congressman Duncan?
Okay. Good evening. Thank you for coming. It's important to me that you'd be here. So let's talk about the shootings, right? Here's what I've come to believe. Insulting each other is not going to solve this problem. President Trump, for the last 24 hours, has been called every name in the book. He didn't do the shooting. I blame the two people who did the shooting, don't you? So I'm trying to find a way forward that makes sense. I own an AR-15. Does anybody own one of them? Okay. Here's the deal. Taking my gun away from me is not going to solve this problem. Here's what will solve the problem. Getting rid of these social media sites that spew hate, deal with the games that kids grow up with, and give police officers the tools with due process to take the guns out of hands of people who are dangerous to themselves or others. When it comes to the type weapon, that's not the problem. Some of these people use bombs, they use cars, they use weapons. When it comes to the number of rounds in a magazine, one bullet in the hands of a dangerous person is one too many. And let me tell you why gun ownership matters. If there's a hurricane or natural disaster, we saw this in New Orleans, you may find yourself at home having to defend yourself. Now, that's not a joke. That can happen. So, I've got 15 guns at my house. If you come to my neighborhood, and this happened in New Orleans, there's three houses in the neighborhood, one without a gun, one with a double barrel, and my house. You'll pick my house last. So I'm trying to find a solution to the problem, and the problem is intervening before it gets too late. In Parkland, Florida, the police went to the Cruz house 40 times. They got a tip from the FBI hotline. He did everything but take an ad out in the paper, "I'm going to kill people." We need to make sure that never happens again. Thank you.
First off, Joey, thanks for having us here tonight, and I want to thank everyone for coming. Rick Tate from Pickens County told me there was about 500 people here. What a crowd. And I want to recognize Congressman Joe Wilson sitting on the front, and his socks kind of match mine. I don't know. I didn't get that memo, Joe, but I don't know why I didn't wear my Trump socks, but you can't see this at home unless you're on streaming, but there is a portrait of President Trump behind us made out of pennies, and that is the most unusual thing I've ever seen. It's excellent. I don't know who did that. And if y'all want to auction it off later, I'd be glad to do that for charity. It's a challenge being in Washington right now with the likes of AOC and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all this crowd. But they're in control in the House of Representatives. And that is a reality we have to face and is glaring every time I walk on the floor. Luckily, we have a majority over in the Senate, and we can stop bad legislation from being passed. So I'm thankful that Lindsey Graham is over there. He's fighting for us. He's fighting to find out the genesis of the so-called Russian collusion, the Steele dossier, working with Attorney General Barr.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
And we're looking for big things out of that Judiciary Committee, Senator. I will tell you that. Because I know I talk with my constituents, and they want to find out how all this was hatched, who hatched it, who was involved, and they want to see some justice brought. They want to see some folks in orange jumpsuits, handcuffs, because right now they feel like there has been no justice, and they're tired of the hearings. They're tired of the endless Russian collusion talk. They're tired of seeing the talking heads on every night. They want to see some action, and so we're looking forward to that. Been around the district today. Folks support the president. They support the economy. They appreciate the jobs that are being created. The employers are telling me they're having trouble filling jobs. If you're looking for a job in South Carolina and you don't have one, you're not looking hard enough, because the jobs are definitely out there. If you've got any skill, even if you don't have skills, the employers will hire you, send you to technical college, and get you the skills you need to have a good-paying, long-term job here in South Carolina. Touch base on the tragedy this weekend for just a minute. I think the senator talked a lot about that. I want to make sure that anything we do, make sure that United States citizens are given due process before we take any firearm out of the hands of American citizens. Due process is an important part of our Constitution, and it ought to be an important part of anything that we do. Now, we ought to be adults and be able to set our emotions aside and really look at the societal issues that are going on right now, because I remember back in the early 80s, and that's all I can speak to, my high school days. I had classmates in high school that brought firearms onto a school campus in their pickup trucks because they were going hunting after school, and they were probably going with a principal or a coach. It's not the firearm, and those students weren't going into the schools and shooting up the place. There are societal issues that we need to look at. From a legislative standpoint, we need to look at modernizing our background check system so that our law enforcement actually do the background checks, have the most up-to-date information, and in real time. That means our local law enforcement communicating with ATF and FBI that does the background check, so that when that person's standing at the federal firearm license counter wanting to purchase a firearm, that FFL holder gets instantaneous, accurate background check information. That's modernization. That doesn't restrict anyone's rights. That actually brings that system into the 21st century. Everyone in this room's got a cell phone in their pocket. We have technology to be able to do that. It needs to be mental health data. It needs to be law enforcement data. It possibly needs to be school data. And we need to allow the mental health experts to communicate with law enforcement. They say, oh, we can't do that because of privacy. No, it's a safety issue. And that mental health data ought to be communicated to the correct people. These are common sense things we can do before we restrict a single person's Second Amendment rights, because those rights aren't given to you by the government. You have those rights, and they're affirmed in the Constitution of the United States. And we need to protect those rights. I'm sworn to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States, and I promise I'm going to. So as we have this discussion, we need to do it on an adult level, not buy into the universal background checks rhetoric and all the other things that are out there that would have done nothing. And H.R. 8 that's sitting over the Senate, passed out of the House, controlled by Democrats, would have done nothing to stop the shootings this weekend, Orlando, Parkland, Las Vegas, or any of the modern shootings. So don't buy into the universal background checks rhetoric that the left wants to throw out. Let's talk about real facts. Let's talk about a conversation that will actually keep us safer. And Joey, I appreciate it. I look forward to the comments tonight.
Sure thing. Thank you. Let's just stay on that topic for a while longer. Senator, there's been calls from your colleague in Ohio, Senator Sherrod Brown, to call you guys back, bring you back to Washington. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I talked to the president at 6:30, so he's back in the morning. And so I've talked to him twice today. I talked to Senator McConnell about around 5 o'clock. And we're trying to put together legislation that will matter. I'm not trying to make anybody feel good. I'm trying to fix a problem. And Jeff said it very, very well. I'm a gun owner. But all of us should want to give the tools to our law enforcement officers with due process to protect us against people who become dangerous. And the bottom line is I'm trying to find solutions. Senator McConnell's been treated like dirt. He's a good guy. You know, whether you agree with him or me or not all the time, he's done a hell of a job with judges, I can tell you that. So we're trying to find bipartisan solutions, tone down the rhetoric. I'm going to meet the president Thursday, spend the weekend with him, and we're trying to work on solutions that will empower police, deal with the social media problems, go after some of this hate stuff, and make the country safer. And the only way it becomes safer is we work together. And I thought the president did a really good job today being president of the United States. I was very proud of it.
Thank you. As mentioned, we do have a special guest with us from the 2nd District, Congressman Joe Wilson, stand-up congressman for a second there. It's a pleasure to have you, sir. And we have a question for you. Now, did you come expecting a question?
No. So we do have a question for our congressman. It's from Hal Roach. The economic policies that President Trump has, how is that affecting South Carolina from where you sit in Washington, D.C.?
Jobs. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to be with you, and particularly to be here with Senator Graham. I'm so proud of his leadership on the Judiciary Committee. What a difference he's making in the Appropriations Committee. And he's standing up strong for our national defense. And I, on the Armed Services Committee, just really know that he's got our back. And then the leadership of Jeff Duncan with Energy and Commerce, also a Republican whip, just does a great job. So we're so proud. I'm just honored to be having a short-term visa to be in the upstate. But I'm just, I'm honored to be here. When I think of economic policies, indeed, it's jobs. And I think really here of the upstate. And that is that with the success of the tax cuts, we now have the lowest level of unemployment ever in history for African Americans, for Asian Americans. I'm here tonight with K.B. Kumar of the Indian American Chamber of Commerce. Vivian Wong would let you know, too, that we have the lowest level of unemployment ever for Asian Americans. And so the opportunities that are created in, for women, the lowest level of unemployment in 60 years. For young people, the greatest opportunities, the lowest level of unemployment, but it's jobs. And then as Republicans, people of the upstate know better than anybody. And that is that the first Republican governor, Jim Edwards, is the person who recruited Michelin to South Carolina. The North American headquarters of Michelin is right here in Greenville. I'm particularly grateful in my home community of Lexington. We have the largest Michelin plant in the world. Republicans did that. And I'm really grateful. Our second Republican governor was Carol Campbell. And he was the person who recruited BMW. I was here for the groundbreaking for that with Senator John Russell, Senator Vern Smith, and people were laughing at us. They were saying that they're going to have to change the name of BMW from Bavarian Motor Works to Bubba Motor Works. The facility here is the largest BMW facility in the world. South Carolina now is the leading exporter of cars of any state in the union. 2 years ago, 10.4 billion dollars worth of vehicles. And then we can give a lot of credit to Nikki Haley. She helped recruit Volvo. I last Monday was at the Volvo facility. When they began construction, it was going to have 700 employees. But the message got out of what a wonderful vehicle this could be. I saw 1,400 employees in Berkeley County. So we have so much to be thankful for. South Carolina is also the leading manufacturer and exporter of tires of any state in the union. So we have so much to be proud of. And Republicans, with now the leadership on the federal level, and thank goodness for Governor Everett to be here, we know that good things are occurring with Governor McMaster's leadership working with the federal team. God bless you. Honored to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, Congressman. Always glad to have you in the upstate. Just a reminder for those of you at home listening to 94.5 The Answer, your questions are welcome on our text line, 877-235-9405. And those of you with us here, Deb is ready to help you out with any of your questions, too, so just get Deb's attention. Speaking of our text line, Congressman Duncan, we got someone's attention, he says. I wasn't able to be there tonight. I enjoyed last year's event. What kind of socks does Congressman Duncan have on tonight? I guess they heard mention of it a minute ago.
Well, there's a congressman from Utah, John Curtis, and for my birthday in January, he sent me a pair of socks from his district, and they wore so well and were so comfortable. Now, this was the second pair. I asked him to send me another pair, and I'm going to have to think of the name of them real quick, but I'll come back to that. But they're blue with a little pink on them and black to sort of match my shirt. I try to coordinate, Joey. If I'd have wore some Clemson socks, I may have ostracized some of my constituents.
Well, someone at home must have noticed them, or they heard you mention them a minute ago. Congressman, your Democrat colleagues in the House Judiciary Committee were very disappointed last week that Robert Mueller did not deliver that smoking gun, if you will. We learned that there's 118 Democrats now in favor of taking action, of possibly voting on articles of impeachment. Talk with us about that.
Yeah, so Mueller didn't offer a smoking gun because there wasn't one. There was no Russian collusion, and they knew that from the start. This was an attempt by elements of the Obama administration, government agencies, Fusion GPS, a guy named Christopher Steele, and others to keep President Donald Trump, or candidate Donald Trump, from becoming President of the United States. And even when he was duly elected, before he was sworn in, they continued to go back to the FISA court, get a renewal, to continue spying on the Trump campaign. The Democrats knew that. But they disliked President Trump so much But what they dislike about President Trump is promises made and promises kept. He's keeping the promises made on the campaign trail. They hate the fact that he's trying to secure our country by securing our southern border, knowing that it's not just the illegal aliens from El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras and Mexico coming across. He understands that there are people from Pakistan and Afghanistan and India and Africa and China and Iran and other places trying to come into this country, have come into this country, and many have been apprehended. What keeps me up at night is the ones that we don't know about that have come across our border. Because we all know that illegal aliens have crossed our border, reside amongst us in this country, and we have no idea who's in our country. That's what the president's worried about. The Democrats are also concerned that the president wants to rebuild our military, that he believes in a strong military. He believes in peace through strength, like our President Ronald Reagan did. That's one thing that Lindsay and I agree on, is rebuilding our military after sequestration and the decimation by the Obama administration, who didn't believe in national defense, who didn't support the men and women who are serving our country proudly, who need a raise, who need the equipment and everything they need to defend me and you, but ultimately defend the Constitution of the United States. The president also understands that you work hard for your money. And he wants you to keep, as Republicans do and did in the tax reform bill, that you deserve to keep more of your hard-earned money so that you can spend it the way you want to spend it, not the way the government wants to spend it. Because I guarantee that I don't agree with all the ways that our government spends our money. The president also understands that we have to challenge our adversaries, but also challenge our allies to pay more of their fair share of NATO mutual defense agreements. And they are. They're stepping up the plate. They wouldn't have had they not been challenged. They would continue to allow me and you as taxpayers of this country to shoulder the yoke of their defense. This is the president who understands that. So promises made and promises kept is driving the Democrats crazy. The Russian collusion, they threw it against the wall. It didn't stick. Robert Mueller didn't help them one iota. And now they think they can impeach the president for obstruction of justice. What, with a tweet? I mean, how do you obstruct justice with a tweet? And the president has the ability to fire any of the cabinet-level positions like James Comey. He had the ability to do that, and he did, because he disagreed with the way James Comey was running the FBI. And so that just drives the Democrats crazy. They won't get impeachment. They're going to try. They're going to keep talking. But I don't see any charges that are a high-crime nature that would warrant impeachment. If they are able to do something in the House, it's dead on arrival in the United States Senate because of this man right here. We should be thankful for Lindsey being chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
Senator, do you want to, yeah. What happens when it does reach you guys?
That was a good answer to what kind of socks you got on. I guarantee you they're not made in China. So let's break it down about the Mueller report. So I didn't know the president that well. We got off to a rocky start, but we're okay now. I've come to like it. Yeah, I know. I see that. I've come to like him. He likes him. So we got a lot in common. So, but I've come to believe that if you're not colluding with your own government, you're probably not colluding with the Russians either. He's not much of a colluder. That's not his strong point. So everybody was waiting for Mueller to speak, and Mueller spoke. No collusion. Obstruction of justice. This is bizarre to me. I've been a prosecutor before I got in this job. I've never known anybody to be prosecuted for attempting to obstruct justice when there was no underlying crime. How do you obstruct justice when you turned over a million documents to the special counsel? You let your own lawyer testify for 30 hours. I wouldn't have done that. He gave them everything they wanted. He answered written questions. So to the Democratic Party, I know you can't accept the results of the 2016 election, but the worst thing you can do for this country is to impeach the president based on the Mueller report because it's not warranted. It will throw the country into a ditch. We'll take back the House. We'll keep the Senate. And he will get reelected because they're going too far. Now, as to Comey, the day before he was fired, Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer called for him being fired. I do remember this stuff, by the way. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to find out how all this crap started and begin to hold people accountable, because if they can do this to Trump, they can do it to you. So I think it's very important that Mr. Horowitz issue his report. Then I'll take that report. We'll have a hearing based on his findings. And my job as chairman of the Judiciary Committee is to look at whether or not we need to change our laws going forward. Bill Barr is an awesome attorney general. He is the best pick. I've known him for 20 years. And the fact that he may not have prosecuted somebody because he didn't feel comfortable doing it is a good thing, not a bad thing. So here's what's going to happen. The Horowitz report will come to the Senate. And I think it's going to be very damning. Mr. Durham, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, is going to look at all things criminal. And I'm going to try to declassify as much of this as I can so that you can see for yourself how much they hated Trump. I'm going to try to disclose all of the information possible so you can understand that when it came to the FISA warrant, they were told that Christopher Steele hated Trump and you shouldn't trust him, but they went ahead anyway. Papadopoulos, I want to declassify all the conversations that were recorded with him. Now, I think you're going to find early on that he thought the idea of working with the Russians would be treason, but they went after him anyway. So I want you to understand that we're going to get to the bottom of whether or not the FISA court was defrauded, whether or not the counterintelligence investigation was opened as a backdoor to get into Trump's campaign, and whether or not Hillary Clinton was let off because they wanted her to win and Trump to lose. I promise you, I will do my job in this regard.
Thank you, Senator. Let's take a question from the audience. Deb Sofield.
Hey, guys. I'm here with Diana Stooksberry, and she has a question for you, Senator Graham.
I would like to build on what Congressman Wilson said about Donald Trump has put America to work. However, Donald Trump has also tried to put 200 people approximately to work in his cabinet or in high positions government. And unfortunately, they've made it out of their committees, but never seem to come to a vote in the Senate. Right. What can be done, and how soon could these people go to work?
Great question. We've had about 200 people leave the private sector to serve in this administration. Here's the one thing I can tell you. The judges are moving. I'm in charge of that committee. By the end of the year, we're going to have more judges approved than any single year in the history of the country, I believe. Now, how do you do that? You show up on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you don't take a lot of crap, and you vote. So this is the way it needs to be. You'll see the Foreign Relations Committee start becoming more aggressive. They've been blocked in that committee. And I talked to the chairman. I want to work with Democrats. But the goal is to fill the government up with people that President Trump trusts. It's his presidency, not Obama's presidency. And this goes back to them trying to deny the fact that he won. So on the judge front, I am very pleased with the progress we've made. Of all the things that President Trump has done, I think this will have the most consequence over time. That we're going to replace about one-third of the federal judiciary. And if he gets another term, can you imagine what it would look like between now and 2024? If I were a life insurance salesman, it'd be hard to sell at the Supreme Court. There's people over there may outlive us all, but the point is, there's probably going to be some openings coming down the road. And so this is really important. And finally, about the economy. Do you think it's an accident that the economy is better? Policy matters, don't you think? If you stifle the economy, it will not grow. If you increase taxes, people will have less to share with their employees. There'll be less people hired. If you take the government and you try to drive people out of business through regulation, guess what? Business will be stymied. Everything Obama did, Trump is undoing, and it's working. So, national security. If I had 8 years to live, it'd be during the Obama administration, because it seemed forever. It is now over. The military was really hurt during those 8 years, Jeff. And we're replenishing the military. This budget deal, while by no means perfect, the biggest winner were the veterans and the Department of Defense. The biggest increase in defense spending since Ronald Reagan at a time we need it. Let me tell you a little bit about the president. He got out of the Ron deal because it sucked. I grew up in Central. Anybody ever been to Central? My dad owned a pool room, a beer joint, and a liquor store. This is why I've learned to be a good senator. What did I learn in the pool room? If a guy's threatened to cut your throat, don't buy him a knife. The Ayatollah's a religious Nazi. He'd kill everybody in this room if he could. Do you believe he had a bomb, he'd use it? Do you believe he's been trying to build a bomb, not a power plant? If you don't think he's trying to build a bomb, you should not be allowed to drive home in Greenville because you're a danger to yourself and others. So the bottom line is ISIS is destroyed, and it wasn't an accident, Jeff. We took the handcuffs off, and we killed those bastards. And we got to make sure they don't come back. China, they don't know which way is up. Finally, somebody, after 40 years of being ripped off, is standing up to them. Israel's never had a better friend than Donald Trump. The economy is humming. We're changing the judiciary for a generation. And you know why they want to talk about impeachment? Because that's all they got to talk about.
Thank you, Senator. Congressman Duncan, a popular program that the Democrat presidential candidates love to talk about is Medicare for All. I saw a post you had on Facebook the other day. Talk with us about that.
Medicare for All. They just need to sign up for the VA then. Because if you talk to many veterans, they'll tell you the VA is broken. It's been broken for a long time because it's a government-run health care program. Limited access, delays, and not in my term, but in Lindsay's term, they've had issues with facilities. And so we know the price tag for Medicare for All is unattainable. We can't tax Americans enough. We could, we'd kill the economy, we'd kill the golden goose. And so I believe in capitalism instead of socialism. Medicare for All is socialism. That's why AOC and the Socialist Democrats, they call themselves progressives, but that's a fancy term. They believe in socialism. They believe in the government making decisions for you from cradle to grave. They believe in Medicare for All, just like Obama believed in the ACA or Obamacare, a government takeover the health care so they control you and your family, the health care decisions you make. Ask any doctor or hospital right now that relies on Medicare reimbursement from CMS, and they'll tell you that CMS tries not to pay them. They try to find ways. This T wasn't crossed, that I wasn't dotted, this file isn't complete. We're going to withhold the funding for you in the future. So Medicare for All is just a government-run health care system. I believe in returning the health care system back to the private sector, back and let capitalist free market solutions provide you the best plan that meets your needs, your family's needs, and the needs of this nation.
Can I follow up on that?
You sure can.
How many here get your health care through your employer? How many of you generally like what you got at work? They're going to take it away from you. How many people are here on Medicare? Woo! We need younger people. You can't see that on the radio, but I will be 65 next year. I'm going to join you, okay? So let me walk through this. Bernie and AOC are going to invite 80 million of their closest friends to share Medicare with the rest of us, and they hadn't paid a dime. Do you think we're going to win in that deal if you're on Medicare? How do you bring 80 million people into the system who hadn't paid into it, and you get the same thing you got today? That's a joke. That's a lie. And if you've got health care at work, the only way this works is to take your health care away from you. Let me tell you why Trump is going to win. This is crazy. This is dangerous. And if that's not enough, they're going to take your health care away from you, if you're working, and give it to an illegal immigrant for free. Now, let me tell you what I think will happen. If you decriminalizing illegal crossings into the country and give everybody a parking ticket. And once they get the parking ticket, you get free health care. I'll make a prediction. Half the people on earth are going to take us up on that offer. Dumb idea.
Thank you, Senator. Let's go back to Deb in the audience with a question, please.
I do. I've got Nick Marconi, and he is hoping to go to one of our military schools. He has a question for both of you.
As a young voter, what is the most prevalent issue to look out for in the upcoming elections?
Well, as a young voter, you picked the right place to come. If I'm a young person, I'm thinking about getting a job, starting a family, and doing better than my parents, right? I don't know if that's going to happen if we lose. It will happen if we win. Let me tell you why I don't think it'll happen if the other side wins. Medicare for All is $30 trillion. It's going to take private sector health care away from 180 million Americans. Instead of getting health care at work, you're going to get it from the government. You'll get what they want you to get when they want you to get it. It's going to dilute Medicare as we know it. The Green New Deal. I don't know how you'll ever see Hawaii unless you learn to swim. Because if you want to go to Hawaii, you can't. Apparently there's no way to get there because there'll be no planes, cars, and boats. So the bottom line, that's $30-something trillion. If I were a young person, I would pay attention to this election, right? If I were a young person starting out my life, I would want to have a decent chance to make something of my life. And I can tell you right now, my friend, that if they enact the policies they're thinking about, you'll have a hard time getting a job. You'll have a hard time starting your own business. If they tank back over the military, they're going to gut it. They're going to sit down with the Iranians and give them a good deal all over again. And you're going to grow up in a world where crazy people have a bunch of nuclear weapons. And if President Trump wins, you're going to have a chance to get a good job. You'll be able to pick your own health care. The government won't run your business. You'll have a chance to run it yourself. And you'll live in a world where the military is strong, our friends respect us, and our enemies fear us. Other than that, I can't think of a reason for you to vote.
You know, it's interesting watching the Democrat presidential debates because they're making a lot of promises of free stuff for Americans. And they're promising the millennials that you won't have to pay your student loan debt, regardless of whether your major was in industrial technologies, engineering, or maybe music, literature, or humanities, or something that doesn't meet the needs of the employers today and you're having trouble getting a job. They promise to pay your tuition back. They're promising Medicare for all. They're making a lot of promises that the United States and the United States government can't keep. Lindsay threw out the numbers for what Medicare would cost. But just look at the cost of the Green New Deal. Look at the cost of paying back every student loan that's out there now. Commitments that individuals that took the student loans made when they signed the contract that they would pay it back. And the rates are favorable, and the repayment terms are better than my home mortgage. You have a longer term to pay that back. And so I don't know a single student loan corporation or lender that won't work with a student to help them with favorable repayment terms. But it's important to know that you've got to get a job. That's what makes America work. You go to get an education, you move on to your mid-20s, hoping to get good employment. I think most American young folks want to graduate from high school, graduate from college, as Lindsay said, get a job, start a family, start building a nest egg, get a home. Back in 2011, Lindsay, my oldest son, Graham, sent me an email one day. He was in high school and he had a project, and he said, "Dad, I have to define the American dream. Would you define it for me, and would you ask Trey Gowdy and Mick Mulvaney to do so as well?" So I sat down at my desk in my congressional office and tried to write down, put in words, what the American dream meant to me. And I challenge everyone within the sound of my voice to do that assignment. because it's harder than you think to define what the American dream truly is. Some would say a house. Some would say a good job. I ultimately came down to this. The American dream is the opportunity that you have in this country, because it doesn't matter where you were born. I was born in a mill hill. Lindsay was born in a pool room.
Back of the pool room.
Close to it. It doesn't matter your race, your ethnicity, your religiosity. It doesn't matter whether you were born to a single parent or to both loving parents. Because in this country, you have the same opportunity as Lindsay and I and all the people in this room and Joey to pursue something. If you work hard and you're diligent and you truly want that, there are people that will step up to help you. I believe that because I've done it. They will help you with financing. They will help you with ideas. They will give you office space. There's incubators. There are things that will help you along the way. Student loans help you get the education you need. The jobs are available. And if you apply yourself, you can move up. And you can achieve the American dream. That is the opportunity to be successful, regardless of where you came from, who you are, what you look like. That's what America gives you that other countries don't. That is that opportunity. That is the American dream. And I can tell you, young man, that if you truly apply yourself and you want something bad enough in your heart, America gives you the opportunity to achieve that, and you will. That's what makes America great.
Congressman, while you have the floor, just a quick little opportunity here. You've got a big event coming up in just a few weeks. The 9th Annual Faith and Freedom Barbecue. Want to put in a plug?
So the 9th Annual Faith and Freedom Barbecue is at the Anderson Civic Center on Monday, August the 26th. We've got Congressman Jim Jordan. How many people like Jim Jordan in here? He is knocking it out of the park over and over and over. Great friend of mine, co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus, and is just a real leader. He's going to come talk with us, trying to get Mark Meadows as well. Mark's trying to move an event. Hopefully we'll have some other special guests announced real soon. I think Lindsay's going to plan on being there as well. We've got so many people coming to speak. If you came last year, you heard Steve Amerson, America's tenor, sing. If you didn't come last year, you're in for a treat. Steve Amerson's coming back, sing patriotic and Christian music, and is just a phenomenal voice. I'm excited about the event. It's a fundraiser. If you're a veteran, you're come as my guest. I'm going to pick up your tab. We have barbecue from Creekside Barbecue. I know the radio stations will be there. Monday, August 26th, go to jeffduncan.com and get a ticket today. And I appreciate it, Joey.
And I'm going to make it real simple, too. If you're at home, just text Duncan to our text line, 877-235-9405. Congressman, I happen to have a couple of tickets that I'm going to give away to someone tonight. You can participate as well. So text Duncan to 877-235-9405, a Big Rock text line, and I'll choose a winner sometime before the end of the evening.
That's awesome. Thanks, Joey.
Senator, do you already have tickets?
He'll give me his. I'm a Baptist. I don't believe in gambling. So. I should say I don't believe in losing. I got a sure thing with Jeff.
Back to Deb. I believe you have another question.
I do. I've got enough questions to go all night, gentlemen. Many feel the House went Democratic because of Obamacare was not repealed. What can we tell our constituents that Republicans are going to do about this issue?
Great question. Number one, we got to remind people that we're not for Obamacare, right? There were five exchanges created under Obamacare in South Carolina. We're down to one. It is not working. But here's where the parties have something in common. They want to get rid of Obamacare, too. They do, right? They think it doesn't go far enough. Jeff and I want to take the money and send it back to the states and let the states administer health care based on the differences that we have in each state. So we were one vote short in the Senate. We need 18 seats in the House to take the House back. If they impeach Trump, I think we're going to get those seats back, and I hope they don't for the good of the country. But one of those seats is in the 1st Congressional District of South Carolina. And yep, we're going to take that seat back. Because this is a team sport. So here's what the president told me a couple of days ago. That we're going to try to lower prescription drug costs. We just passed four bills out of my committee. A bunch of committees have acted. If you're a generic drug company, we're going to let you get into the business sooner. We're going to stop patent abuse. We're going to do a lot of things with transparency and pricing. When you go to the hospital or the doctor, they're actually going to tell you how much it costs so you can shop around. Anybody here ever bought a car? Well, didn't you shop around? Why? Because, you know, it's a big deal. Well, why shouldn't you be able to do that in healthcare? If people know what it actually costs, they'll start charging less. So there's a lot of ways to do it. But let me just tell you how important this whole thing is. This election's got a common theme: federalism versus socialism. So what I want to do is make sure the states get a chance to administer this money using conservative principles if you're in South Carolina. And if you want Medicare for all in California, knock yourself out. I don't care. Just don't take me with you. So there are five states under Obamacare that get 22% of the money, 35% of the money, and they're 22% of the population. If we had a block grant where everybody got the same, no matter where you lived, South Carolina would get a 40% increase. And I'd love to put it in the hands of our state legislators and our governors. Do you know who the governor of South Carolina is, Pam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Pam, I'd like you and Henry and the State House folks to have a chance to come up with health savings accounts, make Medicaid more efficient. I'd like to give you the money versus a bureaucrat you'll never meet. Does anybody know who runs Obamacare for South Carolina and Washington? Me either. But you do know who your governor is and your lieutenant governor and your state house. If we could get the money back to the states, Democratic policies would be tested against our policies. You know what I predict? That governors like Mike Pence in Indiana would win the day. It's no accident that under President Obama, the economy is humming. There are more jobs and more money in your paycheck. Here's what I believe. If we had a contest of ideas where you got the power out of Washington and you put it back into the states, you got to spend it on healthcare, not football stadiums, that our policies would deliver a better product at a lower cost. And you know what, my friend? This scares the hell out of the Democrats. This is what 2020 is about. If we can get the House back and keep our majority in the Senate and President Trump wins re-election, I can promise you, not only are we going to repeal Obamacare, we're going to do it in a smart way where South Carolina would be the biggest winner.
Congressman Duncan, a listener is texting a question. Can you comment on who really controls the House of Representatives, Speaker Pelosi or the squad?
I'm dying to hear the answer to this one.
Well, I would say Nancy Pelosi, but she is definitely having to cater to her hard left, and that is AOC and the squad, and it's not just those four. There are a lot of progressives now within that Democrat conference that are dictating what she does or doesn't do. And you've seen the legislation that's come to the floor that has reflected a very, very socialist, progressive policy. Those bills are DOA over in the Senate. But it really shows their hand, and I'm fine with them bringing those bills to the floor. I'm going to vote against them, but I think it really shows where they would go if they had the presidency and if they had the Senate. They would restrict their gun rights, they would grow government, they would spend more money, and you think $24 trillion is a lot of money, is where we'll be in a couple of years. You can think a much higher debt number if the Democrats were in control. And so let them continue. Let them continue fighting. Let AOC continue to be out there. I think that helps President Trump in 2020. I think that helps Lindsey Graham and Jeff Duncan in 2020 as well.
Back to the audience. Deb, I believe you have another question.
I do. I've got one from Christy, and she says, with another Republican deciding not to run again, what do you think we can do about this, and why are these current Republicans not willing to re-up?
Well, this is a real concern for me. Are y'all concerned about this? Okay, so Texas, in 2018, we lost a lot of suburban districts in Texas, and we got a chance to get them back. Orange County, we lost seven Republicans. Used to be the home of Ronald Reagan. So I think with Trump on the ballot, things are going to be better for us. But we don't need any more retirements, Jeff, over there, because they're trying to give us everything. We just need to take it. They're doing their part to get us all reelected. They really are. Let's just talk about immigration for a minute. You want to talk about immigration? I went to the border. I went to El Paso. And what did I see? I saw Border Patrol agents working their ass off trying to do the best they could under impossible circumstances. I saw women and children being well taken care of, and it breaks your heart. But here's what we can't do. We can't have an immigration system where in 5 years, an entire country of the Northern Triangle will be here in terms of numbers. Also, 985 guys in cells and in tents that had been here multiple times. Of the 985 men, 8 were from Mexico. 62 countries. What does that mean? Here's the way the law works. If you come to America and claim asylum, your hearing is 3 years down the road, and you never show up. That law has been abused, right? So my bill, did you see the hard time we had passing it, but we got it passed. I tried to work with Democrats, but I'm in charge of the committee, not them. So we took a vote, and we're trying to say that if you're from Central America, you got to apply for asylum in your home country, not at our border. If you bring a small child with you, we can only hold the child for 20 days. And if you don't want to separate families, we let them all go after 20 days because that's not enough. In El Paso sector alone, 52,000 people, families, were released this year. So what I want to do is adjudicate family claims, not separate families, and if they lose their case, send them back where they came from. So what did we learn? 30% of the so-called families are fake. We learned that they're renting children. That last year, most of their crossings in one sector were all adult males. Now, most of the crossings involve a minor. What did I learn? They're advertising in the Mideast, in Arabic, $30,000 to go to Guatemala. They will give you a coyote to smuggle you into the border. Then you turn yourself into the first person you see. They're not trying to avoid detection, Jeff. They're trying to get caught. This is a nightmare. It is only a matter of time, ladies and gentlemen, that somebody comes through this system that's here to kill us all. So we need to fix this. We need to fix it now. And if I were a Republican House member, I would want to hang in there. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we can get the House back and keep the Senate, we will change these laws. And if President Trump gets another term, we will fix a broken immigration system. So if you're a Republican House member, please don't retire. And finally, as to Jeff and Joe and the entire delegation, you make me proud every day. I've got a lot to worry about. I never worry about my delegation doing something crazy. Thank you all very much.
I hear the music coming up, and that means that we're out of time for the radio. We can continue here in just a minute. Let me get our radio friends back at home. Once again, a special thank you to the Greenville, Spartanburg, Republican parties, Anderson, Pickens, Lawrence, all of you guys for having us here tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here as well. And my team at 94.5 The Answer, tune in every morning, 6 until 9 a.m. I'm there waking you up or drinking coffee with you every morning. A special thank you to Salem Media Group, our senior, our executive vice president, Alan Power, our regional vice president, Val Carolyn, and our brand new general manager. Today's his first job, Pat Kelly from Chicago. Give him a southern welcome. Appreciate you being with us here. And, gentlemen, thank you again for being with us.
For breaking news and stimulating talk, 94.5 The Answer. WGTK-FM, HD1, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.